time once again for another edition of Rockin' the Boat here on Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM in California, 91.3 FM in Olympia, Washington, 87.9 FM in Point Arena, California, and www.freakradio.org on the World Wide Web. My name's the V-Man. I'll be here with you for the next 30 minutes. Today on Rockin' the Boat, we'll be discussing the Hands Around the Lab event coming up August 10th to commemorate the anniversaries of the horrific bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan. Joining me in the studio is Tara Darabji, recent graduate of UC Santa Cruz and outreach director of Tri-Valley Cares. And we'll be speaking about the Lawrence Livermore Nuclear Laboratory. That's coming right up after your PR Watch radio spin. Stand by, stay tuned, Rockin' the Boat coming up next.
With this week's edition of the Radio Weekly Spin, I'm Laura Miller. The New York Times reports, when the House voted last week to let Americans import less expensive medicines from Canada and Europe, 53 senators signed a letter opposing the legislation, a letter that the industry trade group, which vigorously opposed the measure, hailed as proof of its argument that the bill would jeopardize patient safety. The Times' Cheryl Gay Stolberg writes, what the trade group, the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers Association, did not say at the time was that it helped coordinate the signature campaign. The trade group's involvement in gathering signatures, detailed in a document obtained by the Times, is not a surprise. It offers a glimpse into the aggressive efforts by the pharmaceutical manufacturers to defeat the import provision. Pharma, one of Washington's most influential lobbying groups, has a record of hiding its lobbying activities, often by paying other organizations to promote its interests. With nearly 100 lobbyists registered in Washington to represent its interests last year, pharma is angering many lawmakers. Representative Gil Gutkonek, the Minnesota Republican who was the chief sponsor of the drug importation measure, told the Times, "This is a multi-armed octopus we're dealing with." Referring to the trade group, Mr. Gutkonek added, "All roads lead to pharma." Sludge researchers, activists, and rural residents exposed to land-applied sewage sludge across the nation are boycotting a summit organized by the Environmental Protection Agency, the Sludge Industry Trade Association, Water Environment Research Foundation, and the New England Biosolids and Residuals Association. Activists say, "We are boycotting this conference because its real purpose is to create an illusion that EPA and the sludge industry are concerned about people getting sick from sludge spreading. Organizers have arranged this conference while continuing to malign and intimidate scientists and citizens who raise concerns about land application of sewage sludge." PR Week reports, the Department of Justice is going on the offensive against critics of the U.S. Patriot Act. Civil liberties advocates criticize the legislation for removing checks on law enforcement and undermining constitutional rights, prompting some state and local governments to pass resolutions condemning the act. PR Week writes, Attorney General John Ashcroft and department spokespeople are now aggressively speaking out to the public and the press with an eye towards setting the record straight. Ashcroft used a trip last week to Alaska, one of the states to pass a resolution against the act, as an opportunity to speak out on the issue. He said it was understandable that the public would be concerned about invasions of privacy, but countered, "We use these tools to secure the liberties of our citizens. We use these tools to save innocent lives." The American Civil Liberties Union, however, says that insufficient surveillance powers were not the reason government failed to detect terrorist activities that led to the 9/11 attacks. Laura W. Murphy, director of the ACLU's Washington Legislative Office, says, "The congressional report on 9/11 shows that these new powers were not needed and that instead the government must effectively use those already at its disposal." The Miami Herald reports journalists in Guatemala have recently been attacked, one fatally, by mobs supporting former dictator Rios Montt, who is campaigning to become the country's president. Mario Antonio Sandoval, vice president of the daily Prensa Libre and president of the six-month-old cable channel Guatevision, said, The press is the only functioning institution in this country. That is why they either have to control it or scare it. For these stories and more, visit the PR Watch website at www.prwatch.org.
And we here at Rockin' the Boat thank Laura Miller and the folks at PR Watch for the weekly radio spin. You are tuned to Rockin' the Boat here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. My name is the V-Man. Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in Livermore, California, is a U.S. Department of Energy national lab which is managed by the University of California. Founded in September 1952, Lawrence Livermore is one of three nuclear weapons design laboratories operated by the Department of Energy, the others being Sandia National Labs and Los Alamos, both in New Mexico. Today on Rockin' the Boat, we'll discuss the social, economic, and environmental impact the Lawrence Livermore facility has for the citizens who live in and around the Livermore community. On August 10th, 2003, to remember the anniversaries of the horrific bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan, citizens of Northern California will gather in Livermore to demand global disarmament. Joining me live in the studio is Tara Darabji, a recent graduate of UC Santa Cruz, who is also Outreach Director of Tri-Valley Communities Against a Radioactive Environment, otherwise known as Tri-Valley Cares. I want to welcome you to the show here, Tara.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Tell me a little bit about Tri-Valley Cares. How was it founded and what are some of its goals?
It's actually the 20th anniversary, and Tri-Valley Cares is based in Livermore, and it was founded by maybe half a dozen community members that were really concerned about what this laboratory was doing in their backyard. So they got together, all volunteers, started researching it, and slowly began uncovering that it was the nation's design lab for nuclear weapons. And since then, Tri-Valley Cares has continued to organize. We now have about 3,500 members, and we work primarily on peace and justice issues and then also on cleanup. There's a lot of contamination due to the nuclear weapons development.
How did you first become involved in this issue?
Well, it was actually my senior year in college. I was going to school up at UC Santa Cruz, and I overheard this conversation about the UC's involvement in nuclear weapons, and it really just tripped me out. And I went and I started getting more and more information and found out that every nuclear weapon in the U.S. arsenal is designed by a UC employee. And I found out about that, and within a couple weeks, the executive director of Tri-Valley Cares was speaking in one of my classes. They had a job opening. I had my resume, and I've been working with them for the past 2 years, and now I actually live in Livermore. I live right next to the laboratory, about 3/4 of a mile downwind.
Tell me a little bit about what work is done at this lab. I mean, as we mentioned, it's the, you know, one of three facilities that they produce nuclear weapons, but give us more specific details about it.
Well, it's specifically a design lab, so I like to think of it as the brain on the nuclear weapons complex. They do all kinds of experiments, modifying, upgrading, creating the next generation of nuclear weapons. It's the research and development arm. So it's actually, Livermore Lab is home to the world's most expensive nuclear weapons project. It's a laser system called the National Ignition Facility. Ultimately, it's the R&D behind pure fusion weapons. And I mean, that's just one of the many projects, but Livermore Lab and Los Alamos together, they were set up so they could be kind of like friendly competition, who could make the best, baddest weapons. And right now at Livermore Lab, they are being funded to design a new nuclear weapon. It's called the Robust Nuclear Earth Penetrator. And what it is it's an earth-penetrating bomb, so the idea is that it would hit underground bunkers of biological weapons, that kind of stuff, and so actually penetrate into the earth. And, I mean, the ecological impacts of that, you're talking about a major explosion. That mushroom cloud comes right up out of that hole, and you have radioactive particles attached to the soil. And that'll remain radioactive for days, up to hundreds of thousands of years. So actually, you know, designing these weapons puts us that one step closer to using them, and we don't even know what kind of impacts it would have over the generations on ecological systems. And they also work on creating mini nukes. That's nuclear weapons with a yield of 5 kilotons or less. And so they like to call them cute nukes. And the whole idea is, you know, they're pretty much tailor-making nuclear weapons for the next phase of the war on terror. And there's a real danger that nuclear weapons are going to be sold to the American public. You know, we're just going to use a cute little nuke. And really, we're the only country to have ever used a nuclear weapon in a battlefield scenario. So the fact that we're designing a whole new generation of nuclear weapons actually, you know, that are designed to be usable in a battlefield scenario is, it's devastating. And this is happening right here in the Bay Area, and it's University of California scientists that are doing this research.
Give us more details about the University of California's involvement in these laboratories. We've, you know, mentioned and stated clearly that they operate both of these facilities, but you said to me off the air that every weapon designed is done by a UC employee. Are students involved in this at all, or is this just the university itself?
Students definitely have a role. It's actually the University of California manages the laboratory. So the Department of Energy, the government agency, owns them. They have a contract with the University of California. And since their inception, both Livermore and Los Alamos have been managed by the University of California. It's a contract that has never been put up for competitive bid. The UC Regents and the DOE go behind, you know, the proverbial smoke-filled closed doors, shake hands, and come out with this contract. And actually, for the first time, due to severe management fraud, deficiency, security lapses, the Los Alamos contract will be put up for competitive bid, and the Livermore one may well be too. They have severe security lapses as well as Livermore. There's been like 3 sets of missing keys on separate occasions in the last few months. And actually, I'm part of a coalition. It's called the Coalition to Demilitarize the University of California, and it's a statewide student and nonprofit community group coalition. And we're going to be meeting for our first ever annual student, like, statewide strategic planning at UC Berkeley the day after the big demo out at the lab. So that's going to be August 11th. And if folks want information on that, they got to get in touch with me at 925-443-7148. And that's a really good way to get involved and look at, you know, how university. So it's basically, since the University of California manages the labs, everyone that works there is a UC employee unless they're contract. So you're talking about UC employees doing all of the design work. And because of that tight relationship, there's a really close working relationship between the UC and the laboratories. So they actively recruit students to be the next generation of bomb builders, and they funnel research dollars to faculty, grad students, fellows, all of that, to really strengthen a relationship. Because, you know, it's like, not that many people really want to build nuclear weapons and design them. And so it's not that really, it doesn't look that attractive. So they call it stockpile stewardship. And they have the National Ignitions Facility, and they put all this lingo to it so people are actually deceived and don't really realize they're working on nuclear weapons. And if, you know, your professor, for example, at UC Davis, laboratory scientists will guest lecture and have classes at UC Davis. So it's kind of, it becomes part of the culture in engineering and math departments.
Let's talk a little bit about the financial implications of this. How much money is being spent by the federal government for the production of nuclear weapons right now?
Well, annually for nuclear weapons related activities, it's about, I want to say, $6.38 billion. roughly, and that's the request for 2004. And that's complex-wise. The Department of Energy has facilities all over the country, from everything from design, development, to testing, to production. And it's about 1.5 times what we were spending during the Cold War on nuclear weapons.
And this, as you just mentioned, 1.5 times more than was being spent during the Cold War. This, in an era where it's you know, supposedly. I don't know. That's interesting. I'm speaking today with Tara Darabji. She is Outreach Director of Tri-Valley Communities Against a Radioactive Environment, and they will be sponsoring a demonstration August 10th at Livermore Labs called Hands Around the Lab. We'll hear more about that in a few moments. Tara, let's give us an idea of the environmental implications in the community around Livermore. What types of waste is generated there, and where is it? How is it disposed, and how is it affecting people in Livermore?
Well, it's a Superfund site, which means it is designated by Congress as one of the most contaminated. There's an underground plume of VOCs. There's actually tritiated water on site that they just monitor. There's no way to really clean that up that they know of. Children born in Livermore are 600 times more likely to develop malignant melanoma, that's skin cancer, than other children living in Alameda County. There's elevated levels of brain cancer among employees at the laboratory. And since its inception, so it's been 50 years, Lawrence Livermore National Lab has released about 1 million curies of airborne radiation into the entire Bay Area. It's roughly equal to the amount bombed on Hiroshima. It's a different type of radiation exposure. Hiroshima, it's all at once. You get a huge dose. This is low-dose radiation, but there's an international consensus that no dose of radiation is safe, meaning any exposure to radiation could have a negative biological reaction. So you're constantly being inundated by this radiation. And the Department of Energy themselves declares the 50-mile radius surrounding the laboratory as the routinely affected population. That's from San Jose to San Francisco to Sonoma to Stockton. Over 7 million people living in that radius. And right now, Livermore Lab has plans to start work with a new biowarfare agent facility. So they want to actually be aerosolizing and genetically modifying live anthrax, bubonic plague, botulism. This high-level biocontainment facility is slated to be up and running as early as August, and we definitely have petitions. This is a real-time critical one. They did no environmental impact statement, which would require a public hearings. There was no thorough security analysis on their cursory environmental assessment that they did. No thorough what would happen if there was an earthquake type of analysis, even though there's fault lines within vicinity of the laboratory. So if folks are interested in taking those petitions, circulating them, you can get them on our website, www.trivalleycares, all one word, .org. And if you don't have computer access, you can always give a call at 925-443-7148. I will mail them to you.
And we'll get those numbers again at the end of the program. Once again, you're tuned to Rockin' the Boat. My name's the V-Man, and joining me in the studio is Tara Darabji, is Outreach Director for Tri-Valley Cares. Let me throw a devil's advocate question out at you there, Tara. A lot of people, I've heard this said that it is the U.S. stockpile of nuclear weapons that is actually preventing other rogue states, if you will, from attacking us. What do you say to these arguments?
Well, I think one thing about the Bush administration's nuclear policy is that it's explicitly offensive. It really blows out the whole argument that was maintained by administrations for generations, that this is, nuclear weapons are a deterrent. And the Bush administration is taking the nuclear weapons, and actually they released a document. It was leaked to the LA Times over a year and a half ago called the Nuclear Posture Review, which explicitly stated that nuclear weapons would be integrated to be used in battlefield scenarios. It mandated and requested new designs, mini nuclear weapons, robust nuclear earth penetrators, bunker busters. So we're seeing the funding starting to happen for that. And it actually listed, we have contingency plans to use nuclear weapons against China, Russia, Libya, Syria, Iran, Iraq, North Korea. And some of these countries do not have nuclear weapons. So you have the country with the most advanced, extensive, expansive nuclear weapons program on the face of the earth, with plans to use nuclear weapons against countries that do not even possess them. The U.S. has the exact numbers classified, but some 10,000 nuclear weapons, about 3,000 are on hair trigger alert. They can go off at any time. And right now in the budget, you know, there's money requested for this robust nuclear earth penetrator, mini nukes, a new bomb plant. It's called the Modern Pit Facility, which would actually bring us back to Cold War production for the center of nuclear weapons. It's called the Pit. There's also money for what they like to call enhanced test readiness, translates to, you know, preparing for a resumption of full-scale underground nuclear weapons testing. And that's why there's been this national movement to organize a series of actions to mark the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And it's actually already begun. It's August 1st. So today is the first day through August 11th. And there are dozens of actions happening all over the country saying no to this explicitly offensive nuclear weapons policy that not only continues to funnel needed resources into weapons of mass destruction, but talks about actually using them against other countries.
Tell me a little more. Let's see. Well, I had just lost my train of thought here. It's again, you're tuned to Rockin' the Boat here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm speaking with Tara Darabji. Maybe we can give a little plug for the rally that's coming up on the 10th. Why don't you talk about that? What's going to be happening?
So Sunday, August 10th, we're going to be meeting in Livermore. There's going to be carpools coming down from Santa Cruz. You can contact the Resource Center for Nonviolence. They're going to be organizing carpools. And it's going to be 1:30 in downtown Livermore, and we're going to be doing a hands around the lab. And actually, 20 years ago, about 6,000 people, the largest demo ever at the lab, converged out there to do a hands around the lab. So we're coming out in numbers this year. It's expected to be the largest rally in over a decade. We're going to be joining hands probably around, say, 4:30. And then there's going to be a great program. We have Joanna Macy, Starhawk, Miguel Molina, William Rivers Pitt. There's, you know, a full program you can get on our website. And I think what's really unique about this action is that we've asked interfaith spiritual leaders, everyone from the pagans to the Christians to the Muslims, to come out. And at 4:00, there's going to be synchronized, decentralized ceremonies surrounding this center of mass destruction. There's going to be a lot of music, poetry, good speakers. We're encouraging folks to come out, bring, you know, their good energy, bring a friend or two, definitely some water and sunscreen, and not only learn about what's happening right here in the Bay Area, but take a stand, you know, and send a strong message that we are not going to tolerate having a design lab for weapons of mass destruction right here, you know, at a time when we're cutting back on schools and, you know, we don't even have money for basic social services. We can increase funding for new nuclear weapons programs. This is happening right here in the Bay Area, and people really need to come together and send a strong message. You know, Congress is debating this right now. They're deciding if they're going to fund these nuclear weapons programs or not, and the people really need to send not only a local message to the scientists that work at that laboratory, but also an international message, you know, of solidarity to countries that feel threatened by the U.S. nuclear weapons programs, that we're not going to let this country continue to design new generations of weapons of mass destruction. You know, the very weapons that we were looking for in Iraq that they could not find. We have incredibly technologically advanced centers right here in the Bay Area, and we're allowing them to continue, you know? I mean, when the Security Council readmitted weapons inspectors to Iraq, 3 days later, we had a weapons inspection, Livermore Lab. They said, you know, we don't let people in here. There's nuclear materials. You know, we want other countries to have weapons inspections, but not here. No one's going to inspect the United States because the reality is we're designing a whole new generation of nuclear weapons. And now, you know, this laboratory is starting to look at biological, quote, biodefense. And the thing about biodefense is, like, when you're talking about biowarfare, the line between defense and offense, like, the research is the same. So you're going to take a super secret nuclear weapons facility and, you know, promise the world that there's only going to be, you know, defensive research, when literally what separates them is intent. And so now's really the time, and it's time for a new generation of people to come out there. There's going to be lots of good music. It's really time to say no, you know. People were marching against nuclear weapons for decades, and that's how we stopped them from testing. And they test out in Nevada on sacred land. You know, it's indigenous land that the U.S. government took to test these nuclear weapons. And they're talking about going back to full-scale underground testing. We have the power to stop them. They're building the bombs here in the, you know, in the Bay Area. And this is the time when we can unite peacefully in nonviolence.
And again, if we're almost out of time, so if you could just quickly give us the details on the August 10th action at Lawrence Livermore Labs.
Okay, it's going to be Sunday, August 10th at William Payne Park. For directions, you can check out our website, www.trivalleycares.org. There's carpools lists up there. You can also give us a call, 925-443-7148. We'll give you information about it. It's going to be some great speakers, some good music. We're just encouraging folks to come on out and bring their hands together, and, you know, so we have enough hands out there to get all the way around the lab.
And that's going to wrap it up for us tonight on Rockin' the Boat. I've been speaking tonight with Tara Darabji. She is Outreach Director of Tri-Valley Communities Against a Radioactive Environment, also known as Tri-Valley Cares. Their website, www.trivalleycares.org. Join me again Monday at 5:30 for another edition of Rockin' the Boat here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, 91.3 FM in Olympia, Washington, 87.9 FM in Point Arena, California. Stay tuned.
Dropped the bomb in 45 to end the World War. No one had ever seen such a terrible sight before. The world watched with eyes wide to see where it would lead, as the politics of power passed around the sea. Was it time to remember that we never can forget they were playing Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian roulette? Like the saviors of our modern human race, with the radiation halos that hung above their face, with the key to the sure cure and treatment of our ills, a hot shot of cobalt and a pocket full of pills, speaking always of the enemy who lurked across the seas while moving in among us like a carrier disease. Inside the bunkers of the concrete and lead, Einstein's disciples working steadily ahead, building heavy metal power plants to fire the city lights. And all you hear is the underground humming in the night, and the wall, the tight security circle all around, where they spill out all the poison and they bury it in the ground. In the harbors, hidden secretly away, the warheads and the submarines owe it to make their play, and the military masterminds improve on their designs, while the soldiers get all doped up and stumble through the lines, and the leaks in the water get carried by the tide. I call it national security, I call it attempted homicide.